Well, welcome to Talk Story, the longest running talk show on Maui. And I am just so thrilled and excited to have in the studio an absolutely brilliant woman who I adore. Her name is Kelly Covington. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm trying to remember the last time we saw each other. It's been a couple years at least.
Oh, quite a few. It's nice to see you.
It's great to see you, too. You're looking fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a strange thing that's bringing us together here. The memory of Fulton Tuchambi. You were just so close, family close.
Yes,
brother,
we
sister.
Were. That's right.
And I just adored him, as so many people did, because he helped so many musicians out. He helped me out with the recording of Practicing Aloha. It was all done by him with some wonderful people, including you,
including
singing
me.
Back up, remember,
yes,
Celebrate?
I do remember that, yes.
And Eric Gilliam was on that track as well?
Yes.
In fact, the other day, I was looking through some of my old, remember, the problem is we have these old computers, some of them don't work so well, but
right.
They just kind of sit in the background. Mm-hmm. And he did a recording of a song that he did, which I never released, with you singing, that is somewhere there in one of those files.
Tucked away.
And I found a CD of spoken word pieces I did with his music behind it. There was so much he did. And you emailed me just the other day.
Right.
And you said, we're going to do a big memorial event.
Right.
I didn't realize how big it was till I looked at the flyer, and you're going to be
goodness.
Doing it big time at February 5th.
February 5th at the MAC, outside at the pavilion. We will have the celebration of life for Fulton Tuchambi, for the island people. This is for us, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has been waiting and wondering.
That's right.
Why, when, how, you
exactly.
know. And so we have finally got a team of people together to make this happen. Art at the MAC has donated the space.
Wow.
And his staff.
He never does that.
And I know.
You know, that's a miracle right there.
Well, because Fulton did so much for him and
he did.
For that place. He played there relentlessly.
He did.
At no cost.
That's right.
To open the shows, to close the shows, to during the shows.
Mm-hmm.
He was a staple down there.
That's right.
And Art is paying back with thanks for
wow.
him. And we have Bev Gannon on board.
Oh, well, Bev loved him.
They worked together for years,
yes,
him and
absolutely.
I and her. And that's our favorite team.
Yeah.
And her team with Rebecca and
that's
Carrie
right. her assistant,
and Nicole
yeah.
and
yeah.
all those girls that work so hard to pull things off. She's going to be there. And we have a whole lineup of great bands.
How do you even go about putting something
it
like
was,
together,
it
Kelly?
It was terrible. It was one of the hardest decisions I had to make was organizing the music for this. And if I had had the time, and if we had had like a 4-day like festival or something,
yeah.
I could have put everybody on the stage. Everyone that he's ever played with
wow.
or worked with, it's endless, you know. And so when I know everybody wants to play and everybody wants to share, and but everybody will not be able to, you know, and I'm trying to include the people, you know, that I thought that he played with the most.
Uh-huh.
And but it's going to be an awesome lineup.
See, this just says something in itself, the fact that there's so many people that he was involved in and worked with who loved him that want to play. I mean, typically when you ask people to play for free, for
right.
something like this, you can barely get a couple people. They're all so busy, they get asked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, you have so many people
right.
that want to play that you could actually do days.
I could do days of an endless festival.
Wow.
You know, and unfortunately, I had 3 hours
uh-huh.
to work with.
What time does it start on the
So fifth? It starts at 5 o'clock,
uh-huh.
and it's over at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's good. I can do that one.
Can you do that?
Oh, absolutely, I can do that. I don't like the one that start at 8 and get over
at
11. I'm getting older, you know, at 11 o'clock, 10
as
o'clock,
we all
11.
Are.
It's like it's hard. But 5 to 8, yes, absolutely, I'm going to be there. You know, I mean, Fulton touched so many people in so many ways when I was doing the work on that, Practicing Aloha. Let me just tell you a little story of how Practicing Aloha came about. It was a CD that I did that got nominated for an Ohoku Hanahan Award. And I had it also submitted for a Grammy. I was at the Wailuku Coffee Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I've known Fulton for years. You know, he used to do a jazz show here.
Here, that's right.
On Ko-Oi FM for years. That's and I've right. known him. That was before his son Gabe was born. He was
yes,
doing that.
That was before he was even sick.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was. So I ran into him, you know, big hugs. Hi, what you up to? And he's like, you know, I have all these songs. I do mostly writing, you know, but these songs came to me. And I was celebrating 20 years of being on Maui. I said, this is not what I typically do, but I wrote songs about Maui. And typically it's all spiritual, related to God and spirit. But this one was really about Maui. And I said, I don't know how to do this. When I have a song that comes to me, Kelly, I mean, I am note by note. I write it down literally, you know, all I can do is a single line. I did learn piano when I was young. I can't play anymore.
So you can notate it.
I can note it. And then I said, but these all have to be arranged, you know? I mean, I don't know how to put this even into a score.
Right.
This is before I did Sibelius, before I had Sibelius and things like that. They can do that even.
Right.
So we literally went to his studio. At that time, he was here right behind
in Wailuku.
Our radio station. He had, yes. He was right there behind our thing. And it was almost like a Quonset hut back
yeah.
there.
Which is, that was right? a cool house.
Yes, and he had it all set up back there.
Yeah.
With the studio and probably 100 instruments, right?
Right.
And we literally, I'd go da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he'd put down da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then from that, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He'd make these.
He'd build the chords.
He'd do the whole arrangements.
And yeah.
What he would do is sometimes just noodle and come up with these amazing things. And then from there, you know, he started calling on all of his friends. And boy, did he have friends. I mean, next thing I know, Lenny's coming in. Lenny Castellanos is coming in. Mm-hmm. Gretchen Rhodes.
Right.
Before she'd recorded anything here, he said, I've got this piece. And we had Gretchen do a song I wrote called Greater Purpose. And, you know, it was one of the last times we actually had David Choi.
Oh, wow,
play David. Saxophone on it.
Wow.
And he knew these people in L.A. that, you know, that
Fulton
one he did.
Knew everybody.
He knew everybody. That song, Celebrate, he had a sax player coming from L.A. that was, he had all these people. I mean, it was really amazing how it all built. Mm-hmm. And he would just go on and on and on. Now, his challenges, he went on and on so much that it was like you almost needed an organizer behind him keeping track of everything, finding the track sometimes.
Just a lot would come out of him.
Yes.
And that was his magic, how he could take a song and totally flip it and change it and
absolutely
make
true.
It something completely different.
Yep.
And he would do that on the spot while we were working.
Yes.
He would take a song and just completely change it. And then all of a sudden we'd be in a totally different groove. It would just be happening. He would know what I was going to sing.
Yes.
I would know what he was going to sing. And we would do it together and then turn and just laugh at each other.
Now, you know? Have how many CDs out?
I have two.
And he did you do them CDs. Both with him?
No, actually no.
I thought you might have, because I know you've done a lot of singing with him.
My first CD was done about 21 years ago.
Wow, yeah.
And that was a jazz CD. I did that with Brian Como.
Oh, really?
And a bunch of other jazz guys.
Uh-huh.
And then my next...
What happened to Brian?
Brian is away in New York right now, healing up.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he'll be back soon, I do believe. So
the next one was
and the next one I did
it,
I did in I did in California with my famous brother-in-law Narada Michael Walden.
Oh, that's right, that's your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, it's just and okay, folks, I know some of you may not be into music as much as I love music and as much as Kelly, but may I just mention that this guy Narada Michael Walden is he still alive?
He's still here with us and still doing
it. He's a brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Okay, so how do you describe? I mean, in my terms of knowing music, it was like he was one of the first new age musicians. I mean, I'm only saying that because he's so freaking spiritual.
Right.
I mean, he is a master, you know.
Yes.
And for him, it's just his mind is there. You know, his soul is there.
Yes.
And he put out some amazing recordings.
Yes.
But he also worked with a lot of people.
He produced Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mariah Carey.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's
yeah,
brilliant. Many Grammys, right?
Yeah, many Grammys, Emmys, and he's one of those triple winners.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did music, but he started out as a drummer, a jazz fusion drummer with John McLaughlin.
And, wow, one of the very biggest names.
And Jeff Beck and people wow. like that.
Amazing.
And then he blossomed into this, you know, into this producer
uh-huh.
and writer that has just been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so I do a Christmas show. He has a foundation for kids. And we do a Christmas show for them every year. And I go out there and I perform with his amazing band that he puts together. And we
well,
do.
I think we got to dig in the fact that here, you know, you're on Maui. You go back. You know, you've got the ties with Narada Michael World, which is amazing. But people do not realize that somehow when you're living on Maui, people here don't get the respect that they do in the industry in New York or in Hollywood or even maybe Chicago and other places. You know, you have those connections and those roots. And a lot of people don't realize it because Fulton just liked being here, that Fulton had
those many.
Roots, those deep, deep roots as well.
Yes.
And he, I saw it when we did the CD, Practicing Aloha. He'd just call on friends. But maybe let's give a little backstory on Fulton and where his roots came from.
Well, he's from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up in the church with his dad as a pastor.
I did not know his dad was a pastor.
Yeah, and they had their own, his own church.
Wow.
And Fulton grew up behind the organ.
Wow.
Backing up his father every Sunday and all the choirs and everything.
There you go.
And then he started playing in the clubs and getting out there. And he is one of his big breaks was playing with a group called The Whispers.
Uh-huh.
And he was with them for many years. And, oh, Fulton's played with everybody. I mean,
yeah.
He has just played with everyone. And he... decided to live here, and his first gig he ever did on this island was with me.
I didn't know that. What year was that?
Oh, gosh. It had to be maybe 85, something like that.
Wow.
I had been here for a few years already,
uh-huh.
and I was working around. And then they decided, I got a job from Kika, who's an agency on Oahu, and she said, I'm sending you a new piano player. Tonight you're gonna do this gig with this guy. His name's Fulton Tshombe.
Wow.
Like, she goes, you're gonna like him. He'll be fine. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in. He was all thin and tight. Had a tight suit on, all buttoned all up.
He does like his clothes. He just loved his clothes.
You know, loved his clothes and his briefcase and everything. And I said, oh, he's a brother. Good. I was like, yeah, Kika. Okay. You know, because there were few of us here.
That's why I'm laughing. I totally understand, right?
You know. So he came in, and from that moment on, we just sat at the piano, and we played songs. And I knew right then and there that God had sent me a brother, a friend, and a family member.
I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of music and gigs you did together. I mean, beyond being able to remember. Was it thousands? Really?
Thousands of hours.
Wow.
And then I would show up at his house sometime, and he'd just be mm-hmm. like, here, sing on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would just, you know, cut things or, you know, work on different projects with different people. And
yeah.
He was just a master and a genius. But, you know, more than that, he was just an awesome person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he saw the
best in people.
The love and the generosity he gave people was just, you know, incomparable.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he carried himself throughout his whole illness was like a lesson.
I don't know how we even really go into that.
It was a class of its own.
I was telling you about a time about 20 years ago, I went to his house when he was living in Pukulani, and he asked me, he just found out he was ill, and he asked me to videotape, because I was doing a lot of video business back then. I had a video company. And he asked me to videotape him talking into the camera and telling people goodbye. He thought, he didn't know when he got the diagnosis how long he'd have to live.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn for that, he played music behind some of my spoken word pieces, which I'll play one or two here, that was just really lovely. And I happened to find after he died. I knew I'd kept it somewhere. But, you know, you lose so much along the way. It's because you do so much. And I was really, at that recording, it was very surreal. It was very surreal. I believe in life after death. I mm-hmm. believe in God. I know he did, and mm-hmm. it came across so well
mm-hmm.
when he did that. But who could have ever guessed at that point, 20 years ago, that he continued to live with this in varying forms? I mean,
right.
From times I would see him show up at gigs with his oxygen tank.
Yes.
And which takes a lot of nerve, because if anyone's smoking or anything's around there, anything can happen.
Yes.
But he would show up sometimes barely being able to breathe.
Mm-hmm. And he would come anyway.
He would go, because you know what? He was a consummate professional.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had a gig, he was at the gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he could be half alive and he'd be at that gig and be professional and put on a good show. And that's the way it was up until
the
2 days before he died.
Exactly, exactly. He was still going to work, doing his
and
best.
And he got thin at the end. He got really thin. Very thin.
But he
at
was
the
still
end.
Him.
But he was still going out and doing. I know he did a gig with Rock Hendricks on like a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no right going out
to even be out there doing it.
Driving right. to the gig and back. And that mm-hmm. night he passed out. When he came back.
Oh, God.
And I know, it was, I mean, I can't imagine when you heard about what had happened. I mean, you must have, it was like a hole in your gut, right?
I mean, it's like a hole that you'll never fill.
Yeah.
You know, and the hardest part was that he wasn't here with us. He was on Oahu.
Yeah.
And I had been on vacation, and I came back, and they had shipped him out already.
Yes, they
and
did.
So I didn't get a chance to see him.
But at that point, he was mostly.
But he was.
He was already half there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all praying for the last 4 days of his life, 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew. I mean, I had a dream about him. In my sleep, he came to me, and we had a discussion about what to do, whether he should stay or should I go.
Mm-hmm.
And it very clearly came down to if he were going to stay at that point, he'd been unconscious, he'd been in a coma, and he would
right.
not be the same person.
And
he was told, the doctors told everyone that if he does come back, he wouldn't be able to do music. Well, to imagine Fulton Tejabe not being able to speak or do music or sing.
No. Yeah. No.
So, I mean, at that point, I mean, in the dream, he said, no, I've got to go. I can't live like that without the music.
Yes.
I think he could have, he lived for his music.
Mm-hmm.
That was his blood, was his mm-hmm. music.
Right.
And in his soul. And without that, you know, it was time to go.
Right.
And I think everyone understood that, right?
Yes.
I mean, we all were just heartbroken to see him go.
To see him not
It would
be
have
him.
Been more heartbreaking
to see him
alive and not be able to
yes.
do his music.
That's right. I don't think I would have been able to handle that.
He couldn't have handled it.
He couldn't have handled it. He soldiered himself for so long. And then finally he said, I can't anymore.
You know, that he even had a double lung implant.
Transplant. Yes.
Double lung
transplant.
And went through all that and came back and started over again. And then he got the skin cancer and the
neck.
What he went through.
He would come to work anyway.
He would,
right
exactly.
out of the hospital with those big metal stitches in his neck. He would come to work anyway and try to sing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
His voice would go in and out and in and out, you know.
Well, even when we're recording, that had to be 10 years ago, practicing Aloha. It would depend on the day because he'd be there with the breathing machine and he would be hooked up and there were days he could barely breathe.
But then after the transplant, that all got better.
Yes, it did.
That all got better. He was released from the tanks and the coughing.
Yep. And it was a true blessing.
The breathing problem, you know, and he used to always tell me about how he felt different after he got that kid's lungs who had a motorcycle accident. I feel younger,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I even feel Caucasian sometimes. I'm having different thoughts and feelings.
That's so funny.
I want to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
He'd always make you laugh, you know.
Absolutely.
Always make you laugh. I miss him
and
so much.
And he had so many great styles, my God. And you ever seen anyone that had more piano clothes? I mean, he had a piano tie.
He had
piano shirts. He had piano everything.
A scarf, a hat.
All kinds of sculpture and artwork.
Shirts. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've never seen. And he just had a fetish for instruments.
Oh, boy.
You walk into
so
his apartment,
many.
His last apartment down here.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know it well.
In Kahului, you could barely walk in the door.
Right.
There
right.
were basses, there were guitars, there were saxophones, there were strange instruments I don't know the name of.
Right, drums. And
piano
horns.
is different kinds of pianos. Oh, and my gosh, you know, Kelly, he loved equipment.
He did.
Oh, my God. I'd go over there, and he said, I got this $20,000 Neiman microphone. I said, what?
But I got it for $100.
I know.
Because let me tell you about the deal. Okay? Exactly. Because I did this and that and this. We did this. And I'd be like, okay, Fulton. He was a gadget guy
He loved anything new came out,
you better believe he'd have it.
I mean, I couldn't believe he had one of the first iPads. Remember, the iPads came out, and he had that immediately. If there was a new Mac that would come out, he'd have to get the new Mac. If he'd have new equipment or software, I mean, he'd be going down there, oh, I got this new software. But Fulton, it would take months to learn how to use, you know.
He'd get it anyway.
He'd get it.
Well, Bounty music is going to be very sad.
Whatever happened to all those instruments and the equipment and everything?
Well, I was in charge of cleaning out his apartment.
Wow.
And so a lot of
that must have been tough.
It was tough. It went on for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
With a team of people.
Wow.
That helped very selflessly and giving and very generously.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. Mm. He had a massive amount of equipment and instruments and clothing and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it went to our friend Bruce from Village Audio, and he's been selling the stuff. So if you guys want things, you could call him.
I'm going to call him.
And he's been giving the money to the kids.
Let's explain that now. In case you're just tuning in, we've been talking about 20 minutes here to Kelly Covington about Fulton Tshombe, who was a one-of-a-kind. One-of-a-kind musician that made a huge implant difference. The difference he made into the music scene of Maui is you can't even begin to compute in your mind the impact he made on so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, all of it didn't start coming out to after you started reading the Facebook posts and seeing all these people who said, wow, you know, did this, he did that. You know, this happened. I mean, the stories, you know, kept evolving and people could kind of relate. And so people don't realize that Fulton, I don't even know how he landed up paying his rent. He was very concerned about what could happen if Obamacare was ended. Mm-hmm. He was barely surviving. He worked really hard.
All the time.
But, you know, he was always just
struggling
to see how he could pay rent, how he could pay, and how could he survive, right?
Right.
And he did a lot of that, of course, with, you know, the help of friends who loved him and supported him.
Right.
But I don't think there was hardly anything left over when he died, any kind of money or anything left.
No, probably,
when he died.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think.
So the money that's coming in, from the sale of stuffs and for the concert tribute on February 5th, that's all going to be going towards paying expenses and to the family.
Yeah, we'll be giving all that to his family. He has a daughter that lives here on Maui.
A beautiful daughter.
Oceana.
Oceana's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Yes,
gorgeous
yes.
Girl.
That's like one of my other children.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, Gabriel, lives on Oahu and is studying medicine.
I didn't know Gabriel went to Oahu.
Yes.
Gabriel was born while he was still here at the radio station.
Yes, that was back when he had the house in Wailuku with the basement studio.
That's right. That house up the street here.
Yeah.
Beautiful house. Rock house right there up on Upper Main Street there.
Yeah.
Heading towards EO. And, of course, the name Gabriel, perfect, right?
Right.
Blow your horn, Gabriel. Angel Gabriel.
Yes.
And he adored Gabriel.
Yes. And all his children. He has other children as well on the mainland.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I kind of can't help but wonder, because Gabriel was there and saw his father go through all these health challenges.
Yeah, and he was with him at the end. He was with his son. His son was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that maybe that's why Gabriel wants to be a doctor.
Yeah, maybe. He held the phone to Fulton's ear so I could talk to him, like the day before he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we had a small benefit for him while his brother Donald and his sister Marilyn were here right after he died.
I didn't even hear about that.
We had a small memorial at the VFW in Kihei, and just so we could provide his family with something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a small gathering, and I couldn't invite everyone to that either. Mm-hmm. But his son Gabriel did come over for that, and his kids and his grandkids were there as well.
So this is for that to give some money back. But I think it's much more than that. It's really to so many people wanted to get together and share in the love.
Exactly.
And the stories and the memories.
Exactly.
Just like we are right now.
Exactly.
I don't want to say the word closure because I know Fulton believed in life after death.
Mm-hmm.
I know Fulton. I mean, I had conversations with him. And I'm sure you probably did too.
Yeah.
And he's going, you know, sometimes this is just getting to be so difficult. I mean, I'm looking forward to not having to deal with all this on the other side, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I totally.
I get it.
I totally can relate between this health challenge after challenge for 20 years, challenge after challenge.
Right.
Boy, I listened to that song by Jimmy Cliff, Many Rivers to Cross, the other day. You know that song, Many Rivers to Cross?
Mm.
Oh, you have to hear that song.
I know.
It's amazing. But it is, you know, many rivers to cross, but I still have to find my way over.
Mm.
Wondering I'm lost as I try to reach the white coast. It's a beautiful song, but I think of Fulton when I think of that because he had so many things, and yet his spirit was very strong. His spirit was.
It still is, even though it's a little bit. I still feel him here.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for his celebration. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a celebration of his life.
You're right.
He would want everybody to come together and party and have a good time and laugh.
Yep.
And play music together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's that is exactly what we are gonna do. It's
on
not
February
gonna be
5th.
A downer. There's not gonna be any eulogy. There's not gonna be any, like, you know, people coming up a line to talk or anything like that. We're going to have a good time. We're going to play music, and we're going to have fun.
What are you going to do? Who's going to be there? What kind of music? Tell me about the details now.
Okay. It's quite a mixture.
I bet it is.
It's quite a mixture. We have Fatima coming up to do a modern dance in the beginning. I have Alalani Hill doing a chant and a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have people like Louise Lambert, Jamie Gallo, Joel Goldfarb, Joe Cano, the House Shakers, Jimmy Mack. And Jimmy Mack is going to be our MC.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy's great.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
And him and the Cool Cats will play. We'll have the 8-track players. And then Espresso, which is the corporate band that I sing with.
Oh.
And then we're going to try to have a finale number where we're going to bring up, like, all the singers that want to sing and come up and some more musicians that wanted to play. And we're just going to try to incorporate that in the finale.
So how do you decide what you're going to do as far as a piece of music for a Fulton Tshombe celebration of life?
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
A hard call.
It is. I found a piece, though, that I'm going to play with Joel Goldfarb.
Uh-huh. What
it's
is it?
It's called You Were Loved. And it's a Whitney Houston ballad that I think is really perfect.
Uh-huh.
And the other people are choosing things that they...
I'm getting chicken skin as you're saying
that. Oh, really?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, and people have their own things they want to say and do and songs they've written and worked with Fulton on and, mm-hmm. you know. And I just really had to spiritually... close my eyes and just feel like who was it speaking to me the loudest,
mm-hmm.
and the people that I'm used to working with, and I think the people that play with him most, and you know, I had to make decisions, and so that's what I've come up with here. So
well, I don't know if people know what it takes to put on something like this. I don't think the average person's ever tried to put on anything like this, because this is not an easy thing to put on. It's not easy putting any event on, but when you have probably involved in something and like this, you probably have about 25 different musicians, maybe 30 in different groups and people all going to be there to perform. So there's the logistics, the time,
the
rehearsals.
You
got to figure out what's going to be played. You know, you got to have that. Everyone has their own thing they want to have for their sound, but you got to have a certain basic sound. Is there going to be a basic house band?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, wow, so that's even more to deal with. You could get each band coming up having their own band.
It's going to be about 5-minute transition between bands because we have all the back line and everything all set up, and the Mac is providing us with the sound company.
This is not indoors. This is outdoors.
This is outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they are providing me with a wonderful staff of engineers that day.
Wow.
Who's going to set up our equipment. And Bruce Sanders from Village Audio is doing our back line. That's all the amps and everything. So all you have to do is unplug, and the next person plugs in. That's all you have to do, you know, and, you know, change your pedals out or whatever and quickly, you know, because everyone is only going to get about 20 or 25 minutes to play.
Because you can't, there's too many.
There's too many people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I have a tight schedule, and I have a stage manager, which is Kathy Marchetti from Kika Inc., helping. And
is that Paul Marchetti?
Yes, that's his wife.
Oh, okay.
She does that. She's a professional stage manager.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, good on that.
Her and her son, their son, Claudio. And so, yeah, it just... it takes a lot of, you know, coordinating.
Well, it absolutely
and
does.
And organizing.
And I've been to some celebrations of life, but I can easily predict that there'll be nothing quite like this that Maui's seen. Now, there was this event that was a fundraiser that happened at the Eau Theater. Was that 7 years ago?
That was before he left to go have his surgery.
Right, his operation, right. Well,
yeah, we had a fundraising event for him, which was at the EL Theater, and it was a fabulous show, actually, too.
Yeah.
And we provided him with some traveling money and some bill assistance and just sent him off and hoping that the best would happen.
And it did.
And it did.
And it was a very complicated
a lot of people helped with that too.
Yeah,
a lot of people,
which was amazing.
Helped. Yeah.
So you know, this is a kind of a unique, one of a kind Maui gathering that's going to be happening on February 5th at the MAC. A unique, very unique way of at the heart of it, a lot of musicians who had this deep connection with Fulton and loved him. But there is a part of Fulton I'd like to talk about here for a little while we haven't talked about. And there's this whole other world besides the music and musicians. He was a teacher.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He was a teacher, and he was very, very proud of being able to teach children in schools and getting them the help and getting them to learn how to play. And he would find uniquely creative ways to communicate with children
with
about what music was all about, right?
Yes. You know him with his uniqueness.
Yes.
Okay. He was totally himself, and he loved to teach, and he was so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, really an awesome teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take those kids, and he would be real with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
He would scare them out of their wits if he had to, and talk to them, you know, like, so they could understand, you know what I mean? And he would get them in line, and he would teach them ukulele. He would teach them keyboards. He would teach them percussion, rhythm. He would teach them how to read music. Oh, he was really good at that. And I've seen him give a couple people lessons, at the keyboard, and I would just, like, be on my computer or whatever doing stuff and just have my ear listening. And the way he would just support these kids, it was unique and it was indescribable.
And
his heart would show.
Yes.
His heart would come out.
He really loved.
Because he loved those kids.
He loved teaching kids.
He really loved
the teaching. And I mean, when you have that kind of impact on a children's life, I mean, I remember when I first learned years ago, you change someone's life through music. And if they learn an instrument, you've given them something that is beyond price,
right. That
is something they'll have their entire life.
Right.
And he did that. He taught me. When I first moved here, I lived out in Hualo. I didn't know a lot about the island. I'd visited 5 or 10 times. It was back in 1980. And I had this amazing mansion I was living out in Hualo. And it had a piano, grand piano. I don't know if it was a Suzuki or Yamaha. Nice grand piano. I had piano lessons since I was young, and I really wasn't very good at learning. I mean, I learned how to read music and do some of that, but I had him coming out and teaching me piano way out there. He was driving out to Hualo and teaching me piano. Now, I still, you know, have enough. I wasn't a very good student, but I still remembered enough where I can do that, the basic stuff. But I still remember how great it was having him come out and how inspiring it was to have him come out. And I would truthfully enjoy more than the piano lesson just asking him to play something on the piano.
Right.
And being able, the view of the bay, it was all glass windows. It was an A-frame, large windows overlooking the bay. Just to have him play that piano there in my house overlooking the ocean, that was better than the piano lesson.
than the lesson itself.
It absolutely was.
That is what I'm going to miss the most, is just hearing him play, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm looking forward to the MP3s that you're going to send me so I can have a little arsenal so I can, you know, bring up his music when I'm really feeling like, God, I sure miss it. There's just, because the way he played, his soul, his spirit behind what he did was just him. Nobody else had that.
His soul spoke through his music.
And no one else had that.
Yeah.
You know, so I am really, really missing his sound as a sister and as a musician and as a friend.
I don't know how many people realize also how deep his spirituality was.
Very deep.
I've always very much, you know, meditated every day of my life since I've been 13. And not a lot of people understand. I write every day after I meditate, but not a lot of people get what I write, you know, and it's okay. I'm just doing it because I want to get it out there. And not a lot of people can understand that connection, but he absolutely got it. Mm-hmm. And he and I could talk on that level, and there's not a lot of people that could, but he gave me a respect that most all of my friends don't, as far as understanding what I was doing and where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. And that meant, I think more than anything else meant the world to me, is his respect of understanding what I was trying to express.
Mm-hmm.
And he could translate it. He could get it. And he could translate it into music. And that's why that CD of Practicing Aloha, that he did all the arrangements and picked all the musicians for and did made it possible, why that could work, because he was willing to do. He was saying, of course, I just want you to do this. I mean, when I did towards the end, just a couple of years ago, my last one, Ave Maria, Queen of Angels. And he wanted to work on it, but it was so hard with his situation at that point. I mean, it was really, really tough, you know, but he did a song for it that is behind it, that which I'll play later, but was so powerful. And now I can cherish those things. See, mm-hmm. I mean, the moments of music, and I'm so grateful to God that we had those moments that were recorded, mm-hmm. that I can go back and he'll be right there in the music. You understand it? He's right there.
There is his legacy right there.
Exactly.
That's what it is. That's what he left us with.
That's right. His music and the children who learned.
And the feeling.
His music.
And the feeling that it gets evoked through that.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Is touching somebody somewhere about something.
I mean, you were so close. Did you? I mean, I know I felt him and he came in dreams. And that spirit I know was around for in the wind. I mean, it was like he was so there in spirit. Did you have any experiences that you felt that connection with?
He hasn't visited me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for a visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he hasn't visited me yet. He's visited other friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had one yet, so I guess he ain't ready to talk to me.
Well, I think he is through this concert. this concert that's happening.
I'm always talking to him.
Oh yeah.
I'm always talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, just wherever I am, I'm always talking to him. So he's hearing me.
I mean, he had this deep, deep musical connection that was the spiritual connection, and to be able to have that happen in a concert of celebration. I know, absolutely, no doubt, his spirit is right there, and it's going to be right there in this concert that's going to be happening at the MAC. And I've had so many people ask me, well, what about, what's going on more? Who's the guy that owns Aria's up here?
Oh,
he texted me and said, if there's anything I can do, you know. And
He already provided us with food for the first memorial.
I was going to ask because he wanted to help.
He was so generous and sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He provided us with a gorgeous spread that day when Fulton's family was here.
Wow. See, I mean, it's that kind of friends.
Right.
I mean, how many people did you deal with? You, there must have been, even just trying to put this thing together, there had to be hundreds, right?
I mean, yeah. You know, I just, you know, I don't, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed with that. That's why I'm glad the people that are on Facebook are on there. I am not. But that was a very good way to spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate all you Facebook people.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Now, we have about 10 minutes more, but I haven't talked to you at all about you. It's all been about Fulton and this gig on February 5th. But you know, I have major respect for your voice and your talent. And I have to say, I think if you were in anywhere else but Maui, boy, you would be doing like super gigs with the biggest names in the business, but you're here on Maui.
Yeah.
And you're dedicated to being here on Maui.
Yes.
So, you know, you have, and you know the people, you know, and you've had a chance to work with the people, but you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you get enough respect for, I mean, you have this amazing voice, Kelly.
Thank you, Cindy.
You've got a big voice and
yeah,
so much soul. And you can do just about any kind of jazz and music, not just jazz.
No,
I
not
mean,
just jazz.
Not just jazz at all.
I cross over.
You do cross over. I mean, you know.
One of those
yeah,
singers.
I mean, so when you, when I think about your background, I go, wow. So what have you been doing? I haven't checked in with you, and I haven't seen you in a long time. I have no idea what you've been up to.
Okay. Well, professionally, I have been writing music with Narada, and we've been shopping music with Aretha Franklin and people like Carlos Santana and his wife.
Isn't she amazing, Cindy Blackman?
Yeah, Cindy Blackman.
What
yeah,
a powerhouse of a woman.
Yes. They want to bring her out as a solo artist.
They should. She's amazing.
So far, we haven't hit anything yet. But
so when you want to write something like that,
mm-hmm,
just because I'm a frustrated writer, obviously I've written the songs and they're on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you want, when you're talking big leagues like Aretha Franklin.
I know.
She's lost a lot of weight. Is she okay?
No.
I looked at the picture of her and I got very scared. I went,
no,
that looks like someone who's not.
She's not okay,
doing
unfortunately.
Well.
I pray for her.
I saw a picture of her that scared me. I went, oh my God, I hope she doesn't have cancer because she's lost like 100 pounds.
Well,
and
yeah. So we write together, which he sends me a track. I sing.
Narada sends you a track.
Yeah, he sends me a track,
mm-hmm,
and it's completely wide open. So I get to write the melody and the lyrics on top of his track.
Wow.
And then we have a formula that works where I just record in my little room at home.
Uh-huh.
I send it to them.
Uh-huh.
And they embed it into the track. And it's amazing.
So what are you writing? Happened. Give me some words.
It's kind of like I wrote a song called Black Vanilla about an interracial couple.
Uh-huh.
But and love.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just sexy.
Yeah.
You know. And I wrote a song called Stay Up. It's just about how I want to stay up and be with my baby. Just mm-hmm, this is more like, you know, pop radio stuff.
Right.
What is what we're trying to try.
Which is hard to figure out. It's hard to figure out, folks. I mean,
oh yeah,
because it changes every day.
Right.
You never know what's going to be what people want
right,
from day to day. You know, because it's almost like in movies, something hits it big, and all of a sudden everyone wants to do that kind of music like that because that hit it big, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have one big artist really making it big in this. Well, let's do a song like that because that's going to be big, and it's so difficult. It's much more difficult trying to do something pop.
Right.
Commercial than it is just doing whatever you want to do just for yourself, right? In the
right,
studio.
Exactly.
You got to have the hooks. You got to understand the rhythms. You got to understand what's going to be. And you have to know the vocal range of the person you're doing it for and what they like, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what hits with them.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at someone like Aretha Franklin that may be looking at her last few years of legacy music,
right?
That comes
how do
into
you write something? And I was like, she's going to hear me sing.
Oh,
this,
you're doing the tracks.
Song, yeah, I'm singing the tracks.
Oh, my.
As well as writing them.
Wow.
You know? So I was like, Clive Davis and Aretha are going to hear my song?
Wow. Yes.
So
see,
that's
intimidating.
It's intimidating.
That is
but
intimidating.
Narada gets me through all that. You know, I just go ahead and trust my instincts. And he loves the way I write because I can write for a demographic that is a lot younger.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so... And I've been doing some teaching. I Skype teach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his found,
vocals?
Yeah, I do. I actually had Dionne Warwick's granddaughter I was teaching, and she's on a new show called The Four that just came out. It's another singing competition show with P. Diddy.
I didn't know about that.
And she's one of the contestants.
Wow.
On that. And I'm teaching another young woman from New York, and I teach the foundation, the teenagers, the girls that work, that are with Narada's Foundation. I teach them. And
you're staying really busy.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not good. We did some gigs with Narada in New York, like 2 years ago.
Now, that's folks. I'm going to New York next. In fact, when this airs, I'll be in New York after the Grammys and doing some gigs. And I'm going to actually today, when this airs, I'll be at the UN. I'm really looking forward to going to the UN.
Oh, excited for you!
But I just put it in context here. We're pretty laid back, kick back in Maui. When you're in New York, there's another level. There's another level you're expected to be at, and it's like par excellence. You know, just you just have to be so on.
Well, that's where I'm from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I was born and raised in Long Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I grew up there.
Oh, okay.
But when I go back now, I'm totally overwhelmed.
It is overwhelming. You should see what I've had to drop. I mean, I'm buying clothes going, I don't know, is this good enough for New York?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right.
It's a whole other, but we played at the Iridium.
I don't know that.
It's a jazz club that is, the guy's name is leaving my brain right now, a famous guitar maker and player.
Well, Gibson.
This is like his club.
Martin? No. And Gibson.
Jeez, I can't.
Well, all the good makers are gone.
Well, anyway, so we played some gigs at the Iridium, and then they asked us back, and we went back the next May, and we did some more. This was Narada Michael Walden Band.
Mm.
So I got to sing all the songs that he wrote for the famous people, like Freeway of Love and I'm Every Woman, and I got to sing, and How Will I Know with him. He produced or wrote all those songs.
Wow.
And so I got to sing them with his band and sing on his original
music. I didn't know that he did Freeway of Love.
Oh, that's his song.
How Will I Know? I had no idea he did
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Not.
And yeah, he produced that. He didn't write those songs, but he was the producer on those.
But he wrote
Freeway of Love.
I did not know that.
And a couple of Mariah Carey songs.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, so.
So what was it like being in New York doing those songs?
It was exciting.
I mean, what do you even wear?
My sister helped me get my little outfit together. With New York, you got to go with black.
Yeah.
Okay, just always go with black.
I didn't. I have gold.
You know?
Black and gold.
Black and gold. Yeah. It was super exciting and to be home in my hometown and to come back, you know, with that band and to, you know, see a lost love that I have reconnected with.
Oh, what was that like?
Fantastic.
Oh,
it's still going on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Who would have known that you'd make that connection? How many years had it been?
Oh, over 30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, that's a spark. That's a spark.
I love New York.
Whoa. So are you, but is your lost love in New York?
Yeah.
So you're doing a long distance.
A long distance thing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, well.
I can't even imagine. Has it come out here?
He hasn't yet.
Oh, my gosh. He has to.
He's one of those New Yorkers that just is a working.
Yeah.
He only leaves town when he's in Cuba right now, actually.
Oh, my God.
He's playing music.
He's a musician, of course.
Yes.
Plays?
Yeah, the bass.
The bass.
And he's a producer and a magician.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's very...
A magic man.
Unique.
Totally. How sweet is that?
Yeah.
So you might be moving to New York.
Oh, my goodness. Who knows? Who knows? Soon, though, I do feel myself gravitating towards being with my kids, my grandkids. Mm-hmm. I have three grandchildren now.
Do you?
And I miss them, and I need to go back. And I see myself probably being able to do that and working with Narada in California.
What an amazing, a lot of people, I mean, I knew you had some connection, but I mean, I didn't even know all this about you. And I know you, and I have such respect for you. And I didn't even know all of this, you know. There was a beautiful release... And you pronounce it not Narada. I've been pronouncing
Narada.
It wrong.
It's
Narada.
Yeah.
He did a very spiritual song, and I can't remember what it was. That was one of my all-time favorite songs that was so enlightened that he did. And I used to play it on the radio back there years ago. Mm. I wish I could remember the name of it. But, you know, I mean, I had deep respect for him. And I knew he'd come out here. He has come to Maui.
Oh, many
come
times.
Visit. Yeah,
many
yeah.
times. In he fact, loves he, it out here.
He used to visit with Fulton.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you used to connect sometimes. Because mm-hmm. he'd say, oh, you know who was here? And going, not him. He was so great.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that connection through you. So,
yeah.
An amazing connection.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but respect, and even more so now. But we just want to get out there to people. And this is really important, folks. This is going to be a special, special night, February 5th, 5 o'clock, at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center outside. The number to call is 242-SHOW.
Right.
That's 242-SHOW. It's more than just the music. It's going to be the people, the spirit, Fulton spirit, and all the magic that does happen when everyone gathers to celebrate.
Right.
This amazing man's life.
Yes, yes. And I appreciate you giving me the time to come on and to announce this, because I really want everyone to show up. And it, could you please RSVP at rememberfulton@gmail.com? We would kind of like to know how many people might show up.
Well, you know, people aren't used to that. No one
know.
Does this. So
I saw it and I didn't understand it. Please go on. That's so Beverly knows what to do.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And
remember
that,
Fulton.
rememberfulton@gmail.com. Please RSVP.
Okay. Well, now, people are driving in the car. It's hard to remember, so we got to repeat this a couple times. rememberfulton@gmail.com. rememberfulton@gmail.com. But you can just call 242-SHOW and order tickets.
No, there are no tickets.
Oh, there are no tickets.
Right. No, there are no tickets.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that. I assumed
there were
tickets there.
Yeah,
because
no, there
it was
there are
at
no
the
tickets.
Mac.
No, it's free.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know it was free.
Yeah. Everyone is donating their time
oh
and energy.
Oh, my gosh. So just the only money coming in is going to be for the food or something? Wow.
The open bar. I mean, not the open bar, the cash bar.
Yeah, yeah.
That will be open.
Okay, well, as, see, know. Now that was an important factor. I just assumed there was going to be a cost on this.
Yeah,
but
no.
Wow.
Just RSVP, that's your payment.
All right, RSVP.
At rememberfulton@gmail.com.
All right, well, God bless you, God bless Fulton, and I am just very blessed to have known him and have been able to work with him. This is a little bit we're going to go out with here. A Fulton played behind words I did.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Kelly.
You are with me in the light. Let your heart be open to the love that is precious beyond compare. The jewel in the heart is the light that radiates with unconditional love. The radiation of love is the magnet that works magic when you believe that you are love. For you have the love of God in your heart, and you are blessed with the grace of God's inheritance, the divine gift of knowing who you are when you believe that you are love. And as you bring yourself to the truth that heals and the love that brings joy and happiness, your life becomes a blessing when you believe that you are love. Be the blessings by being at one with this love and shine this light of love forth like the sun upon all that is around you. It's easy when you believe that you are love. The light of love comes with a smile from the soul. The flame of love burns with the spark of God's holy breath. Breathe the spirit of the holy light and keep that love light burning always, believing that you are love. Till you purify the old patterns and alive in the new life that's waiting in the paradise that is around you here on earth, always believing that you are.